Hare Krishna, this is Dhanadhar Swami. Hey, well. I'm there. Say hello.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
My son, okay. Okay.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Okay. Okay, I'll be back in about exactly a minute. I just have to do something, and I'll be right. Just wait right there. Okay, I'm back now. Now I'm going to set up my desk so I can get to class. Happening here is, you know, I leave the day after tomorrow, and kind of makes it hectic in a way, very, very sweet, because there's just so many really nice people visiting, and it's just many, many different, literally, from the morning to the evening, sometimes running between other today. Very nice ladies from New York and Tennessee. Very nice people. I guess one lady is going to really getting in June a really substantial. Really super time, but wanting to know about me worship. Always with them, and then ladies from New York came, and Thomas. I went to my forest walk, which is this. And Kishore's Goshula and Murray's clubhouse. And I had a look back and listen to class. The person is a student of science. See me, I believe. China, just as mass time, but I didn't think it was. Oh, and actually, remember Sir Matthew Nasty. Yeah. Job on.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Yes. Amy?
Your voice is cutting out too much.
Well, there's nothing I can do about it. Is it really that bad?
Yes.
Everybody else probably feels that?
Maharaj, we only hear about half of what you're saying.
Well, it's good that you told me then. I'm just going to call back.
Okay.
Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
It's okay now?
Yes.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Yeah.
All right. Well, you all let me know, okay?
Okay.
Just mute your phones so I don't have to mute it to everyone else. Because maybe that affects it or something. I can't say. But okay, I'm just going to get to this part. So anyway, the part that you didn't hear is we regret congratulating Mahamuni because he got his Sangha Lisena Mahamuni. He got his professorship, which is an incredible competition. So that was good. That's nice. So congratulations, Mahamuni. Okay. Let me go where we are. What's that?
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Reading from the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Part 1, Chapter 5, is it? Text 103 to 105. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. There we go. Yesham darshana sambhasa sparshanuga manasanai ojyanodvaha shayanaish tatanya tahikai dudhai duschedai prema shambandhai atma sambandhato dikai vadha swarga pavage cham Chitva Bhaktim Vivardayam Krishna Vismrita Vaikunto Vilashai Shri Anukshanam Navam Navam Anirvacham Vitanoti Sukham Mahat. Krishna has now forgotten Vaikunta, for he is bound by intense, unbreakable, loving exchanges with these yadus. He sees the yadus, touches them, talks with them, sits with them, eats and sleeps with them, follows them when they walk, takes part in their marriage ceremonies, and shares in their other activities of embodied life. These relations are more tangible than the yogi's union with him in meditation. Thus, by his pastimes, Krishna spreads among the yadus infinite pleasure, ever fresh and indescribable, destroying any desire they might have for heaven or liberation, and increasing more and more their devotion to him. Commentary. Sri Krishna descended to earth not only for his own enjoyment, but also to give pleasure to his devotees. Some of the yadus might once have harbored desire to attain the higher celestial worlds and associate with Krishna there. Some of the yadus, in fact, are descended from the planets of the demigods, so in their human pastimes they might naturally have felt an urge to return to heaven. But after they live for some time with Krishna in Dwarka, such unsuitable desires in their hearts dissolve. The yadus lost every trace of interest in liberation from the cycle of samsara because they wanted never to be deprived of the opportunity to take birth again and again in the company of Krishna. I'm not going to read the rest of the purport. Om Jnana Timurandasya Yanandana Salakaya Daktu Unmulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Kapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidati Sapadantikam Panchakalpa Karubhyascha Kripashindu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar
Srivatsade Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Greetings from Vrindavan. I'll tell you a little mystical story today. So these two ladies were with me and Kinchana Krishna. So I was answering all their questions, and they've been here for a few days, and they're absorbed in the kirtans. We had a wonderful visit to Govardhan. And one of the girls is, she has the only kirtan band in Nashville, Tennessee. So because she was from Tennessee, I began to tell her the whole story of Krishnamayi, my disciple, and who was from Tennessee. And I told her the whole story of how Krishnamayi passed away. And as I'm finishing everything, the door knocks, and here's this lady from Radhakund. Now, what happened is there was this article or book written about Krishnamayi, and I gave them all these pictures. And this was 6-7 years ago, way back when I used to live in another place, not even here. And somehow, no matter what I did, they said they don't have the pictures. So I assume that all these pictures were lost. So as I'm, you know, I'm with this girl from Tennessee, you know, and I'm also talking because next door is B.B. Govindaswamy's house, and I'm telling her about B.B. Govindaswamy also being from Nashville, and she has to meet him. And B.B. Govindaswamy, when he was young, his father was one of the first agents of Elvis Presley. And just as I'm finished and I'm ready to go to the temple with them, the lady who wrote the book walks into my room and just hands me all the pictures from Krishnamayi, you know, including her standing next to a statue of Elvis Presley, but practically her whole life and stories, you know, pictures of her. And the funny thing is, I took these ladies on the same prikram that I took Krishnamayi. I was explaining that, where they went to the Govardhan Palace, Govindakund, and then Radhakund. So, I mean, it was amazing. And then they all sat and they looked at all the pictures. So Krishna works in mysterious ways. Now let's get back to the Bhagavatamrita. I'm sorry all the delay, but so we're up to the glory of the Yadus above the Pandavas. We're up to the part of Narada's glorification them. And he describes their opulence because a person accepts whatever he needs for Krishna's service, which includes the needs he has for Krishna's service. Sometimes you have to accept things for yourself in Krishna's service, because you have certain needs, for certain basic needs, for some peacefulness, psychological and physical and mental and social health. But for someone at the level of the Pandavas, the trappings of royalty are only because they were suitable for the service of Krishna and gave Krishna pleasure. Krishna enjoys his kingdom. His kingdom is for his pleasure. So you keep his kingdom clean. People are beautiful in his kingdom for Krishna's pleasure. They accept opulence for ruling the world for Krishna's pleasure. A king must exhibit the accoutrements of power to inspire the mass of people who develop servitude in relationship to Aishwarya or opulence. They must keep opulence in relationship to their servants. So he describes this, and then describes a little bit about their personal qualities, that even though they're kings, and that means a political class, they have no inclination to talk about anything not involving Krishna, and this is the prime symptom of advancement. We have to associate with people like this. We have to pray. We have to pray to be like this. We have to pray to be like this. It is our bhakti. Those of you that are listening now, I'm very happy. I'm very happy to see your devotion to Krishna. And you want to get on the phone and you want to listen to him. This is your bhakti. And if you do it more, it's your more bhakti. But it's a good sign spiritually. You want to hear about Krishna. And then the yadus learn that Narada came, and they run out. And practically they pick him up off the ground. They're so enthusiastic. And they take him there by the hand, and they lead him to the assembly. And they offer him a divyasana. There's a divyasana where the guru sits, but this is divyasana. This is a heavenly asana. This is a really high asana. It's not just to elevate one above the audience to show respect to the book. This is the king's asana, the throne. And he refused to sit on it, and he sits on the ground. Reminds me of Barsanavaj. The days of his own acharya as he comes to Vrindavan. He wouldn't even sit on the Bhagavad asana. He just took the seat off and sat on the floor when he gave class, and people were startled. How is this going to be a sannyasi? In a good way. And then they brought paraphernalia for the worship. They're about to worship him. Instead, he stands up and with folded hands to humbly speak. So beautiful, and this is inspiring for us. Wow, to become a Vaishnava. To want to position ourselves as the object of the service of others. And to relish that feeling. That's why when someone is going to speak transcendental subject matter, they have to offer prayers. Prayers puts you in the position of servant. Prayers puts you in the humble position. Prayer puts you out of the center on the periphery. And that is the position where love can flow through your heart. Love can't flow through your heart if you have a prideful disposition that feels entitled. This sense of entitlement is not a good position to feel love. And therefore, people who want to speak about God and write about God, they offer prayers to God. They offer prayers to God. They offer prayers to God. And so therefore, Narada naturally is really in the mood here of being a servant. And it's so imbued in his consciousness that his worship is foreign to him. And so Narada says, bless me so I can always sing your glories. And that's very wonderful when the apparent senior asks for blessings. I remember in Govardhan, many, many years ago when Dr. Fakir Mohan first came and introduced the Swami, he said to me, oh, there's a nice sadhu here, let's go to his class or something like that. Before, you know, he's sitting there and he's an elderly man, next generation, over 20 years older than any of us, old enough to be like a father in that sense. He gets off of the seat, pays his obeisances to Indradyumna Swami, grabs his hand, puts his head on the floor and cries, bless me, I know nothing. And does the same thing to me and any other senior Vaishnava. The exact opposite consciousness of entitlement. And that's a humble emotional move. That's a sweet, there's something about love and devotion that humbles one. And there's something about humility that inspires your love and devotion. So Narada is in that mood, bless me. And he begins to talk that they have more glories than Vaikuntha, because it's more radiant, it's more glorious, the love is more beautiful than even Vaikuntha, of Aishwarya, the love of distance, the love of obligation, the love of duty, the love of fear. I wish I had that love. We're not talking about a minor thing. But it's not as radiant and glorious as Kevala Bhakti, which has no obligation, duty, or fear because you're dealing with someone intimately who is your equal or junior. And because on earth, that love is spread to others. And glorifies the earth because what the earth is seeing in terms of intimate love in Dwarka is unprecedented. It's not to be found in Vaikuntha. And now we have this verse where Narada goes on in a very beautiful verse how Krishna has forgotten Vaikuntha because he is bound by these intense, unbreakable, loving exchanges. I'm trying to find the words here in the word for words. Anyway, it's intense, it's unbreakable love, and it's spontaneous. Spontaneous love, equality. We were in our CC class, it's relishable. And even there's actually three non-devotees, four non-devotees. Class. I have to explain the CC. But there's a way you can make it relevant because people appreciate the validity of pure love, and I'm explaining it in those terms. And even this Jagannanda, it's so beautiful because, you know, Lord Chaitanya's body is ravaged by his high ecstasy. Lord Chaitanya has high blood pressure from his ecstasies. And if you know anything about Rasa Shastra, intense love can be devastating for the body when he puts it through. Lord Chaitanya is hardly eating anything in that ecstasy. His body is very thin, but he'll only sleep on bark, even in the winter. And therefore his body is so hard and bruised. So Jagannanda Pandit wants to offer him a bed. So it's not so bad. He gets some cloth, he stuffs it with some cotton, you know, dyes it, and offers him a mat. He wants to please Lord Chaitanya so much. And that pleasure is so overwhelming, that desire to please. It far transgresses or overpowers any sense of formality, that this is God and I have to follow his order and I have to be careful to respect him because he is a superior. Rather, Lord Chaitanya, when he gets to bed, he says, "What next, bed? I'm a sannyasi. This should be shameless for me to accept this type of opulence." shameless to accept this type of opulence. But what am I going to do? Because I'm afraid to tell Jagannanda, because his love, it's not on the intellectual platform. So he's not calculated. He's attached. And his strong desire means, I want to please Lord Chaitanya. And that's so overwhelming. And Lord Chaitanya, and it's such a powerful love. Someone's coming at my door. Come on in. Radhe, Bhavan. I see you. Yeah, very nice. Listen, I need a half hour somehow because I'm giving class. Actually, come back. Okay. Very nice. One really nice young man, he's assisting me to get out of here so I don't have to run around. And he generally assists in Jagannanda this long. He's very together. Very sweet personality, but very, very confident. I remember one time he forgot something. And it was at night, and I called him up. He was in Lohi Bazaar. I was shocked. He was literally, in 8 minutes, he was at my door. I said, how'd you get here so fast? He said he ran. So he used to be a runner. And he's not a monk anymore, but when he was a monk in Moscow, he used to bathe out in the river in the middle of the winter, break the ice. I don't know, this is there. Austerity, I guess. I don't know what the point is of that, saying that now, but let me get back here. So the Yadus are saying that the infinite pleasure that is nava-nava, ever fresh, aniyaviracham, anukshanam, in every moment it's ever fresh, and it is not describable. The pleasure that they're feeling from infinite pleasure by the pastimes among the Yadus. By these pastimes, intimate love, intimate devotion is giving infinite pleasure, because in Gaudiya Vaishnava theology, the pleasure potency is a sense of devotional love for God. There's no difference between pleasure and love for God. There's a correlation in this world. The pleasure we're seeking is the pleasure of feeling love, giving love, exchanges, relationships. Wealthy man, no love, can he enjoy? No relationships, can he enjoy? There's nothing more important than relationships in terms of happiness. And your happiness, everyone's happiness should be those relationships we have, which are loving. That's pleasure. But this is coming from the absolute reality where it exists, the ultimate degree. And therefore, these pastimes that are so intimate, not checked by fear, not made feeble by obligation or duty, unbreakable, where Krishna is touching, talking, sitting, eating, sleeping, going to their marriages, sharing their activities, following them when they walk. So even though they came from the heavenly planets, maybe the desire to go back, destroying any desire they have for that or any sense of liberation. Why? The Dhanam, the Janam, the Sundalim, Kabi Tangva, Jagadisha, Kamaye, Mamma Janmini Jam, Babataba Hoitiki. I don't want any of these things. I only want your service birth after birth. Samsara means to finish the cycle of birth and death, but they don't want to miss any opportunity, even if they have to be born again. And it's much more tangible, these relationships are tangible, in the yogi's relationship to meditation, there's two words here, very interesting. Atma-sambandhita. Atma-sambandhita. That's meditational relationships in the heart, meditating in the heart, and prema-sambandhita, by loving relationships. So, these relationships are much more tangible than the relationship with the Paramatma. Much more tangible. Because they're very, very personal. They're not distant. Relationship of, that's called mamata. It's possessiveness. When you worship God, when you worship God in reverence and distance, the consciousness is, I am yours. But once it becomes equal, the relationship becomes possessive, mine. It means when I am yours, it means I am yours among many. That's reverential love. I am yours, and so is everyone else. But when you have an intimate relationship, you are my son, not others. Not everyone has that possessiveness. It's an exclusiveness. You are my father. You are my lover. It's exclusive. So it's a sense of intimacy and exclusiveness. And that gives much more pleasure. Vijnana's meditation on Krishna is much more strongly focused than the dharana and samadhi of yogis. Because the meditation, very interesting, in all other aspects of meditation, except when you are meditating on God, all other forms of meditation, the object of meditation is just a prop. That's all it is. It's a meditational prop. It has no other use than to be a diversion for all your other vrittis or desires. But when there's some bandhan relationship and you're meditating God in love, the object of your meditation is reciprocatory. It is alive. And it helps you. And there's a much stronger natural flow and attachment to it. And therefore, the personal meditators can be swayed, cannot be shaken at any time in Krishna Samadhi. Nothing can distract them. Because every moment, they're experiencing, what Purport says, incomparable happiness of Krishna consciousness, their relationship with Krishna. So that meditation, it's not by the force of obligation or duty. It's not that I am focused because I should focus, but I don't really like to focus. It's a focus based on attraction. So it's a much more powerful meditation. And to achieve this, the yadus didn't have to undergo any discipline, like the other yogis who need to submit their bodies and minds to yoga discipline. Instead of this struggle, in the company of Krishna, they effortlessly enjoy in various ways with all their senses. So, in the spiritual world, one has sense pleasure. But if the sense pleasure of selflessness, not the sense pleasure of selfishness, the sense pleasure of selflessness is you taste and enjoy something to experience how much it pleased someone else. So the senses are so many beautiful things you're appreciating, but in relationship to Krishna. So that's the beauty of this spiritual world. Let me go on. So now there's a reference in that regard in 1080 to 2930 when Krishna came to Kurukshetra. Yudhisthira tells the Yadavas. And listen to the bhav. The water that has washed his feet, the words he speaks in the form of the revealed scriptures, and his fame is broadcast by the Vedas, he's thoroughly purified this universe. Although the earth's good fortune was ravaged by time, the touch of his lotus feet has revitalized her, and thus she is raining down on us the fulfillment of our desires. The same Lord Vishnu who makes one forget the goals of heaven and liberation has now entered into marital and blood relationship with you who otherwise travel on the hellish path of family life. Indeed, in these relationships, you see and touch him directly, walk beside him, converse with him, and together with him sit at ease, lie down to rest, and take your meals. These two verses spoken during the meeting of Krishna's devotees at Kurukshetra, Maharaj Yudhisthira congratulates the Yadavas for the supreme fortune of their intimacy with Krishna. The water that has washed Krishna's feet in the form of the river Ganga purifies the whole universe of its sins. His instructions in the form of the Vedas educate human society to the standard of natural spiritual life, free from illusion. But this is so significant. But despite his constant presence in these two forms, the course of time, the earth picks up from the creature she supports more sinful contamination than she can bear. So despite the instructions, despite the Ganga, the world becomes overburdened by sinful activity. Her glory then becomes a mere shadow of what it was. And we see this even in Vrindavan. I'm doing this right now just like on a marathon taking people to Vrindavan. Because if they don't have guidance, they'll miss it now. Because the roads are blocked. You can't even take a rickshaw to Lohi Bazaar practically. They're doing construction, you know, so there's dirt and construction everywhere. And, you know, and then they're making a sewer system, so they have to flow the sewer someplace else, and it's open. And, you know, so you can see it's like sinful activities that are diminishing, at least externally. The glory becomes a shadow of what it was. And deliver the earth from misfortune, Krishna appears. And just by the touch of his lotus feet, the earth regains her form and strength and can once again shower the Lord's devotee with fulfillment of their needs and desires. The Yadavas especially are so satisfied living on earth with Krishna that they entirely forgot about heaven and liberation. They prefer to stay entangled in their relations with him through marriage, sayona, and birth, sapinda. So these relationships are so beautiful that they're beautifying the earth. And I feel that about Vrindavan. It's somehow being covered in one sense, but the devotees, the relationships that one can have with the devotees here, my class has become just, it's just so sweet in the afternoon. I'm speaking on CC, and by Krishna's grace, something is coming, and the devotees are just relishing. New, old, non, they're relishing. They're relishing, and it's just, and my assistant here, Madhu, who takes care of the house, is just pure and sweet a Vaishnava. And I funny, I took these yoga people. We went to, it was just me and a Kinchiner. And we took these two yoga ladies. They do kirtan, they're simple hearted. And I was with Carl and Stella also, Tamal Krishnamurti's brother. And we linked up real nicely as soon as they came. So we took them, and I have a very nice parikram, and I welcome all of you to go on it. It's very sweet. We take a car, and we drive at 8 o'clock, and we come to my house in Govardhan, which is very sattvic. It's such a beautiful atmosphere. And, you know, I have a very nice seating arrangement for the devotees that come. So we're sitting down, and it just has an ambience, a sweet Govardhan ambience. And there's a lot of land around it, gardens, and so we go there. The car drives up, and we go in there. It's very quiet. And then I have Nityananda, if Neil is listening, her brother, who's very attractive personality. He chants these mantras about Govardhan. And I push this stupid Gita Priya with me, and we bring new people, and, you know, and then they hear, you know, Japati Vuja Dandas, it's a beautiful. And then, Jayarade, Jaya Krishna, in like such classical melodies. And then I explain Gaudiya Vaishnava conception of theology, the Gaudiya Vaishnava conception of realizing God, and the Gaudiya Vaishnava conception of what makes Govardhan the highest place. In a way, the people are up. Then we have breakfast at the Bhaktivedanta Ashram. It's a very nice program. And the, you know, we take nice breakfast there at the ashram. Then I take the people to the roof. We see darshan of Govardhan. I explain a little bit about the palace. Then we just drive to Govindakund, do a quick circumambulation, and go into this old, beautiful ashram where great Mahatmas used to chant lakhs and lakhs of rounds. And some of the descendants are there. Some of the descendants of these people, they're their disciples. So I was in there, you know, and Akinchina lost his voice. And so I had to lead kirtan all the time. And then I became tired of leading kirtan. So sitting in this really, you know, Babaji type ashram. It's just a few, but in their hall before their deities. And I have these ladies begin to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. And they're simple, but they put their heart into so much. And Akinchina's drumming was just so nice that the Babaji's started to come out. And it was so pure. It wasn't like, oh, here's Western women, let us, you know. It was so pure, and they just were so relishing kirtan. Then we go to Radhakund, and it's a nice, simple way to relish the Dham people. Beautiful. So, one or two more verses. While eating, sleeping, sitting, walking, speaking, bathing, enjoying diversion. The yadus are so absorbed in pure love for Krishna, even to get their own family and possessions. Krishna praying, swan, they don't remember. Well, they don't remember. Smarantina, Krishna praying, smarantina, they don't remember. Prema means all there is Krishna. There's nothing else in the conscious. So they tend to forget other things. And the symptom of bhava is indifference. You remember things that are important to you. The things that are most important you remember. That's bhava. Therefore, Rupa Goswami warns, if you're all attached to friendship, society, and love, then don't come to Vrindavan. Don't come to Vrindavan. Don't go to the bank of Keshigat. Don't see the beautiful form of Radha Govinda. Meaning, you'll become indifferent to the world. You'll become indifferent to the illusion of the world. You'll be indifferent to the seeing things separate from God in any way. So love for Krishna is a deep ocean in which his pure devotees dive to their heart's content, thus fully immersed in Krishna consciousness. The yadus were oblivious of their material assets, including their families and their own bodies. All the riches in this world cannot divert their attention. They still manage to think for Krishna. The statement by Narada parallels Sukadeva's words at the end of the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. The Krishnis were so absorbed in Krishna consciousness that while sleeping, sitting, walking, conversing, playing, bathing, eating, and so on, they forgot their own bodies. Thus Krishna once told his wife Satya, "Dear willful goddess, every one of these yadavas is my eternal associates. They are always dear to me, and their virtues are equal to my own." Text 107. O Ugrasena, a king of exalted kings, who could describe the extent of your astonishing great fortune? So great, it cannot be described. All kings are subordinate. Maharaj would be saying it. He's so glorious. Aho mahascharyataram chatvakara barakaram pashapriya janapriti paravashyam mahare. Oh, just see the utterly amazing, infinitely wonderful ways in which the Supreme Lord Hari submits to the love of his dear devotee. Wonderful. Para Vasya, the subservience. To what? To Priti, of who? The Pritijana, of the dear devotees. Who does that? Mahahari, the Supreme Lord, is subservient. Oh, see, Maha Aschayataram, most complete, amazing. Chatmakara, wonderment. Infinite, wonderful ways. By the way, yesterday was the opening of the Tamal Krishna Goswami Memorial Library in his old place in Vrindavan. So I went there and I spoke. It was set up quite nicely. The setup itself, I have to say. Other parts were not that organized for that. But the place is beautiful. and the person who did it and organized it looked at me and said, and told the person who's the Indian manager of the whole thing, he said he can use it in any way he wants. And there's guest rooms. If Ekka Chakra or Mahamuni or anyone has any research to do with Vrindavan, you can stay there. They have beautiful guest rooms. They have an underground library, computer set up, conference table, computer set up with wireless there. And it's funny, on the route, they duplicated Tamal Krishnamurti's room in Cambridge. So if I ever wanted to meet people and just, you know, I have this whole Tamal Krishnamurti's Cambridge room. If they moved all the furniture there. And then there's the museum of the original house. So anyway, that was Krishna's mercy is a kara. or birthplace of everything wondrously appreciable. His selfless concern for his devotees is always astonishing, especially when he willingly submits to their control. At that point, we've gone over many, many times that the exaltedness of personality the exaltedness of an individual is the loving nature of his personality and not the power of his position or her position. And personality means, love means you are submit. If you're loving, you serve others. You submit to others' desires. So if God is loving, he's submitting to others' desires. And the supremacy of God is his subservience. The supremacy of our God is he's driving the chariot. It's a beautiful concept to see. O King of the Yadus, as you sit on your great throne, that same Hari stands before you like a servant and addresses you with reverence. Look at the force of your love. That you, Krishna, you're forcing Krishna, you're increasing Krishna's love for you. By the force of your love, you're increasing Krishna's love for you so much that he's your servant. That's what love does. He says, my Lord, Krishna says, please consider, please order me, your servant. I therefore offer obeisance to you and all your relatives. Okay, I'm going to stop here for today. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail.
Hi, Gail. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Anybody who's available on the 6th, I'm doing a program at Kulki Shores and Kishori Radhas. Probably going to speak on Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas and be really happy to share the food of the dog and the food. Anyway, Gail?
I just wanted to understand better how the relationship between Krishna and the Yadu dynasty was higher than that between Krishna and the Pandavas, because they both seem to have, you know, a high level of intimacy. And I thought that the Pandavas actually were part of the Yadu dynasty. I don't know if that's wrong.
This is the Vrishnis. They're part of the Pandavas, part of what the... Oh, yeah, that's right, the Yadu dynasty. The exact genealogical thing right now escapes me. There's some connection, but there's something different there too. I'll have to just look at that. You have to excuse me now.
The main question was really how, you know, this relationship that you were talking about today was higher than the Pandavas with Krishna.
Yeah. The Pandava, what is there? There's perfect, more perfect, and most perfect.
Yeah.
So somehow most perfect is, perfect is Mathura. More perfect is that's pretty more perfect. No, more perfect is Dwarka, and most perfect is Vrindavan. And Well, obviously, there's formality in both. It's obviously not talking about the place. It's talking about the devotees.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, the Vrishnis. Right now, it's talking about Ugrasena. I'm not sure why, only that it's stated right now.
Okay.
I think it's a thing for me to meditate on. Somehow, I'm forcing my brain now. Yeah, I'll think about it, Gail.
Okay, thank you, Maharaj. Mm-hmm.
And not only that, I'll think about it. I'm gonna dial a Shastri tomorrow while I'm writing for that. I'll call a Vrindavan scholar before I go. Right. Thanks for that question, Gail. Yeah, there's
okay.
Yeah, I need to get that. I was calling on that one. It doesn't come off my set. Anybody else like to say hello quickly?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances to the Lord of Speech. Nandadirva,
Haribol.
Haribol, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Maharaj, do you have time for another question, or is it not a good time now?
I do.
You have mentioned that one feature of the Chaitanya Charitamrita class that you've been giving is that there's even people who aren't Vaishnavas or whatever, practitioners, and yet they're attracted to it, and there's a way in which there's a different way in which that may be relishable or nice. And so I've had a similar experience, too, sometimes, where I wanted to ask you about that. Often, it seems that if everyone's in the same camp, there's a way in which it can flow more naturally, and you don't have to presuppose so much. But there's a different kind of sweetness when there's people who aren't inside the camp, and yet they value it and they want to participate in some way. And if they're the right kind of people, the conversation still goes naturally. So I wanted to ask you: does that make sense? Is that the kind of experience you've had, or do you?
No. First of all. It's a challenge. Because here I am, I'm giving the Charitamrita, and I'm building up a frame of reference. And I got God brothers and God sisters there. And I got mature Indian people. It's really, really good. Then, all of a sudden, in comes a new person. And then, and one day there's an Israeli professor that wasn't a devotee that just came because his wife was there one day. And then the next day, the girls are just not. Today, someone comes out of the blue. Someone sent me for Dobbin, which I arranged because I'm then first to pick up the Dobbin. The person never told them anything about the Dobbin. They wanted to, the asanas. And we're going to read chewing gum, But somehow,
yeah, man.
But anyway, they were nice people. They kind of quickly understood. They got somebody. Anyway, it worked out. But I kind of somehow or other when they're lecturing every day, and I'm in the fire now. I'm just from morning to evening. So there's a certain empowerment and spiritual potency. Like today, this new girl came, and she had a master's. In drama, from someplace in California, the pastors in drama, right?
Yeah.
And so immediately, there's a new person here. First, I want to explain, Gaudiya Vaishnava theology just a little bit. Then I just explain the simple thing, and everybody appreciates it. That in the world, we see that everybody's seeking pleasure. That pleasure is enough. This world is manifest. So why shouldn't that exist in the divine realm? And the divine realm. Why shouldn't the divine realm have that aspect of an exchange? Why shouldn't it be an intense exchange of perfect love? Right.
Yeah.
And then I said, when you become realized, see that, right? And then I went into the Bhagavatam about the Vyasadeva. And told the whole story coming to his vision of what did he see. By God, he saw Pashya Purusham Purnam. That's what he saw.
You know, so I got to tell the whole story of the Bible. So Krishna empowers you with ways. And then I went into the story, and then I read the story where Jagannath on the pond is angry, and, you know, it goes, and people are relishing and laughing, and, you know, they had some sense. Wow, this is beautiful. This is, but it's not always easy. The other thing about new people that is fantastic is to really see people appreciate what you appreciate, but maybe have become familiar with. It's very inspiring. I mean, these people are just, wow, are they relishing for God. And the people that they're seeing, you know, there's these people that live next door to me, they take care of Indrajitha Swami's house. You know, they are pure. They just serve all day. They're beautiful heart, beautiful people. They serve all day. Who could not be? I'm talking to these two girls with the engineers, you know, and they knock on my door, and the mother comes in with the daughter in, like, this utter mood of humility, you know, to offer some prasad and to bring things to my deities, you know, and, you know, who could not appreciate? To see their appreciation. Sitting in Iandra's kirtan, that place is rocking, you know?
Mm.
And it's so far out. It's such a powerful experience, right? But even the eccentricities, you know, like the crazy Ramachari, you know, whomping the car tiles with it, like a mad look in the face, you know, that's weird. It's just so emotional, so powerful. And the thing is, it's like that temple, it's just rocking with devotion all the time. All the time. So people, you know, they're just amazed because it just never stops here. Mm. You know, what happened is they came to me and they had no, they can see, right?
Yeah.
They would love kirtan. They're sitting. When they went to the temple, what's going on here? So I explained the deity work, you know, and there's a way to tell you what's going on. Now, but still we have no relationship. I said, that's because you have to pray. I said, close your eyes and meditate. What is the next step you need in devotional service? And they said, they're very sincere. They both said, you know, we need to become more selfless. I said, okay, here's your prayer. Right? Oh, dear Radha, please give me a drop of your loving mercy so that my heart can be more open to others. I said, okay, now let's go to the temple. Right? So I brought them to the temple, and it's noon, it's Sunday, the place is kirtan, there's Peter, British bossies, the North Indians, everyone's flowing with emotion and love. The splash of color on those deities, the garlands are the most exquisite things in the world. There's no temple like the Sri Sri Krishna Balaram up here, nowhere. The dynamicism, the devotion, and then we went before Radharani, a huge crowd, and they sat and prayed to Radha. Oh dear God. University so that my heart could be more fulfilled. And then we walked out, you know, and I saw that they got something. And now they understood. You know, now they're going every day to the deities and offering them prayer. So seeing the freshness of devotion, you know, it's also nice. But I understand your point. You know, it's attractive. Because even when you get to basic, what happens sometimes, when you go to basic points, you have to go deeper. Because you have to go even deeper to the foundation and make it clearer for these people. So it's relishable to everyone.
Mm.
Anyways, yeah. Anything else?
Yeah, absolutely. It also seems like when people can get inspired by it who aren't part of the community, it helps you appreciate that these are real generic truths. They're not just something that's been built up in our little sound chamber, so to speak. But anyway, that's another point.
Vrindavan is beyond the intellect. Well, Bernie, really, if you wanted to come here, I could probably get you to stay in, you know, in these rooms, you know? Beautiful compound, you know? I mean, any, but, okay, yeah, but, well, that's another story. Okay.
Well,
anything else?
Thanks so much, Mike. Thanks so much. Thanks so much.
Okay. Okay, Professor Dad. Anybody else like to? Yeah. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hey, Christian Mara.
Hey, Christian Mara.
It's Lolita Madova and Gopi.
Okay, Gopi, I sent you a letter with my itinerary, if you got it.
Okay. Yes, she got it, Maraj.
Okay, okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hello, Bill Maraj. Got my basin, too.
Mother Indrani, thank you.
Hattie Bull, thank you.
I love your voice, because your voice is also your heart. That's a very nice quality. Thank you.
Thank you, and you touch
anybody
my heart.
Hello? Anybody else like to say hello?
All right, Krishna Maharaj, Henry.
Hey, okay. Henry, Hare Krishna. Great to hear you. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, no problem. We'll end for now. Thank you. Once you call, close.